The following Real Assets Advisor podcast is a production of its parent company, IREI, Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a complimentary subscription to Real Assets Advisor Newsline and Magazine. Curious about real estate, infrastructure, energy, commodities, alternative investments, or real assets in general? Real Assets Advisor is curated intelligent news, data, and insights to suit your needs. Visit realassetsadvisor.com and sign up today using our new chat feature.
This podcast has been sponsored by Juniper Square. Juniper Square is transforming the private capital markets industry with solutions and services that streamline fundraising, investment operations, and investor reporting. Designed for commercial real estate, Juniper Square is trusted by hundreds of investment sponsors to manage more than $1 trillion in real estate investments. Reach Juniper Square at junipersquare.com.
This is Mike Consul. Thank you for being here. We always appreciate your listenership. I invite you to listen to my conversation with William Sankey. He is a former New York City developer and co-founder and CEO of Northspire, a cloud-based intelligence and project delivery platform that uses artificial intelligence and virtual project management to try to turn back cost overruns and really make development much more frictionless. And what they do ties into what many cities are trying to do in terms of trying to make themselves smart cities. The global market for smart cities, in fact, is projected to reach $2.5 trillion by 2026 as more 21st century developers look to build cities of the future. And according to my guest, they cannot afford to make these important decisions based on gut instinct and outdated spreadsheets. They need more current technologies and more proactive data-driven decision-making. That's what William Sankey talks to me about during this podcast. A lot of interest around smart construction, smart cities, lowering the cost of construction and management, reducing the number of cost overruns, and reducing the amount of a cost overrun when they do occur. All subjects of great interest to many of you. So without further delay, here's my conversation with William Sankey of Northspire. To begin with, why don't you just tell me about Northspire for starters, what you guys are and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm always excited to talk about Northspire, but also cities. I have a graduate degree in urban planning. So I think this is sort of the nexus of a lot of ideas and topics that I tend to be interested in. But I guess for Northspire specifically, so we are a software technology company for real estate development teams that helps them get to more predictable outcomes on complex real estate projects. And I guess we've been around for about 4 years now. We facilitated about $30 billion of complex real estate projects across the U.S. And usually we tend to work with teams that historically were using spreadsheets to manage all of these complex projects and hundreds of vendors that might be involved in executing on these projects. And now teams are leveraging Northspire, where we bring technologies like automation, data analytics, artificial intelligence to help teams just get to like smarter, faster, better outcomes by using more data-driven decision-making project delivery.
So it's a cloud-based intelligence and project delivery platform. Mm-hmm. It has the ability to act as an AI-powered virtual project manager for developers. So what's the, does Northspire, this service, it consolidates a lot of what otherwise would be handled piecemeal? Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you imagine running a complex project, there's probably a series of different things going on. One is that, you know, say, for example, you're building a $100 million apartment building. You probably have 200 different vendors plus working on that project. All of those vendors have various contracts that you have to deal with. Then you have investors and financial partners like construction lenders and private equity firms that are lending and involved in the product on a monthly basis from that aspect, that you are sort of managing the flow of capital through the project from those financial partners down to those hundreds of vendors. And then probably this other vertical within the project is that you are trying to effectively manage against a potential worst case scenario outcome, right? So in an ideal case, you want to be able to see 2-3 years into the future to understand what's the worst case outcome on this project and then make proactive adjustments and decisions beforehand so that you can bring that project in on budget and on schedule. And so usually all those different things are happening in a myriad of spreadsheets, often very complex, convoluted spreadsheets across either, you know, multiple individuals on a team running a project. And so all that gets consolidated in Northspire. We eliminate the legwork to actually even get data into the system, which is pretty nifty, right? Like if you imagine all this data getting generated by hundreds of documents like invoices, contracts, proposals, vendor certificates of insurance, all getting emailed back and forth. We sync into the email-based workflow for project managers, capture that data, extract it, and then automatically go about constructing this very complex view of the world, almost as if you had a team of multiple analysts, except it's a robot in your back pocket doing a lot of the administrative work, a lot of the analysis legwork, and basically leaving you to make just like more strategic decisions and focus on higher order tasks on your project.
Now, do you work with individual developers only, or have you ever got contacted and hired by a city that said, you know, we want to create a smart city, and how do we go about doing that? And we'd like to push developers into your, you know, cloud so that we've got some consistency here in terms of development. There's a common vision. And we're kind of pushing developers all to achieve certain things that are consistent with becoming a smart city. I mean, that's a tall order, but I'm just wondering whether, do you also approach cities about this?
So, you know, today we work primarily with real estate owners, which is often real estate developers. Sometimes it is large institutions that own real estate. For example, like the Museum of Modern Art in New York, they're actually one of our early customers. They own a lot of real estate. They have a real estate team. Often corporations also own a lot of real estate and have real estate teams. So Northspire, we tend to work with real estate owners today directly, but we are asset type agnostic. So I think one of the interesting things is while we might be doing things like these large, complex mixed-use development projects run by developers, some of them are projects that are done in conjunction where the city definitely has a hand in it, in the vision. You know, you take examples. We're doing a couple of projects, for example, in Atlanta, where they are transforming some of their subway stations where parking lots were built around them historically when the stations were built in the 60s and 70s, and trying to turn that into just more high functioning, more urban environments in conjunction with developers. And so those are types of projects where we tend, our client tends to be the real estate developer, but those are ones where there is definitely a major public interest involved. And so we work across, you know, projects like that, as well as even things like K-12 municipal buildings, right? But usually our end client is a real estate developer or operator that is working on behalf of a city.
So what is the compelling interest in a developer saying, you know, I'm going to go with Northspire instead of this panoply of contractors and subcontractors and financiers and so on? Northspire is a better option for me. Why?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, perhaps I should clarify, right? Like, you know, all these parties, like the financiers, all of the different consultants, they're all still involved in the project. But I think what Northspire does is we replace all the data from those different parties is being organized in spreadsheets today, right? And I think part of the pitfalls ends up being, one is that, you know, project delivery is slowed down by virtue of the fact that it could take, one is this sort of the flow of capital, right, from financial partners all the way down to these hundreds of vendors. When you're doing this process in spreadsheets, it can end up taking 90 days or more, 120 days from when work was completed on a project on site or either in an architect's office to when they're getting paid, right? And I think that type of thing naturally slows down progress on a project because you're sort of going through multiple levels from vendor to construction manager, to the developer, to the financial partners. And every single layer has a different spreadsheet. All these spreadsheets have to be in sync with one another. And it's this massive coordination process that tends to be really arduous, very error prone and difficult. So I think, you know, I want to clarify where Northspire comes in is,
we become the sort of system of record, almost like this operating system for real estate project delivery that teams are leaning on, this sort of source of truth. And so that's where Northspire sits in a sense, just to make that clear, right? And I think the reason teams tend to use Northspire over what they were doing in the past, which is usually using spreadsheets or legacy applications, maybe desktop applications that were built 30 years ago. I think the major advantage of Northspire is for the first time, the real estate project delivery industry is using technologies, very advanced modern technologies that other knowledge-based high-skill industries like advanced manufacturing and finance started using maybe a decade ago, using artificial intelligence, machine learning, data analytics. And they're finally applying these same principles, which are sort of embedded in Northspire's software philosophy to how they deliver projects. And that just doesn't exist for them. So, I think if you think about the big top line value proposition teams get, across development, about 3/4 of projects go over budget historically, which is pretty incredible given that this is one of the world's largest industries. When teams use Northspire, we're able to bend the curve on cost overruns by anywhere from 22 to 66%. And you could imagine on a $100 million project or a $500 million project, that becomes really material to whether the project can be financially viable or successful. And I think especially when you're thinking about smart cities and some of the other additional technologies that real estate teams are maybe testing or trying for the first time and implementing, that can create a lot of additional risk on a project. Northspire becomes this way to almost have this crystal ball into what are the greatest risks and challenges and opportunities that might happen on a project, even when you're integrating different technologies, right? It gives you this ability to run many different scenarios to see not just where my project stood 30 days ago, but where my project will be 18 months from now. And I think that, and you can get all that without having to do any legwork, right? Like the robot is doing this all in the background and serving up insights and analytics for you to make a smarter, more informed decision at every step. And I think that's why Northspire has really caught incredible traction in the past couple of years and become sort of the fastest growing technology for real estate project delivery out there.
Why do these projects go over budget? Why is that just the way it is? I mean, so many of them do. And I mean, are they just lowballing the financing, figuring, well, I'm going to have a better chance of getting the money if I don't come in too high, even though I know this project's going to cost more? And also, does Northspire get out in front of that? Are they, is part of Northspire's service that we will help you make a more accurate estimation as to what this project truly will cost?
Yeah, you're dialing in on all the right things, Mike. I think, you know, I could probably talk an hour about why projects go over budget, but I think big picture, two sort of core areas. One is execution on the project delivery, right? Is that, because you have hundreds of different vendors involved, all of their own sort of financial objectives, right? It can become really challenging to keep everybody orchestrated in the same direction, right? As market conditions change, labor material prices change over the course of projects that might extend 3 years. There's a lot of unknowns, even at the outset, right? And then I think every real estate project in some ways is different. The location is different. The topology of the land is different. The teams working in coordination, they often haven't worked together before. If you think about any mix of 200 vendors, some mix of those vendors have never worked with each other before. And so all of this uncertainty just always ends up leading to additional change orders, which add additional cost to projects. So that's on the execution side. Northspire can definitely help you get more predictability around the execution side of things. But then I think on the other side of the equation is, how do you know you have the right budget to start the project in the first place? And I think that's an area where teams often go wrong. You were sort of alluding to the idea that teams' budget is wrong at the start. I think that's a correct assumption. A lot of teams have wrong budgets. I don't think necessarily because they're simply trying to squeak this by the financier. I think that probably happens in some cases. But I think the bigger problem is real estate development as an industry is extremely fragmented, right? Like even the largest players in the industry have, less than 2% market share in a given city, metropolitan area. And then it's a really long tail from there. So all these companies have silo data sets about what went wrong in their projects. And often this is data living in separate spreadsheets, even within a company. So every project manager is using a separate spreadsheet. And when a project is finished, there's not a lot of institutional learnings even within one company, and then definitely not across a super fragmented industry. So the same mistakes just keep getting made over and over again at how teams underwrite and what assumptions they make and which vendors they tend to procure and work with. I think what's pretty neat about Northspire, aside from the fact that we can help people deliver projects more predictably, is that we're aggregating all of this data, which different teams might collect in different categorization schemas. But I think one of the really nifty things about Northspire that we have a lot of like IP filings around is that we're able to map that data, which might look unique from company to company, even within companies from project manager to project manager. We're able to map what might look like apples and oranges of data as apples to apples on our backend. So now we have data about market insights across a universe of data across what is $2 trillion of spend in the US every year, right? And I think that is opening up the ability for us to be able to tell teams what things should cost even before a project start, or which vendors are good and which ones are bad with data, not just from anecdotal information, but you know, which vendors bid low to get their foot in the door. But once you're stuck with them, they hit you with a lot of change orders and their price increases by 30% and you have no other choice, right? Like those are things we can see with big data. That's the type of data set that we have at Northspire today across the $30 billion of projects we facilitated. And I think we're sort of solving two sides of that equation for why projects go over budget, getting the budget right and executing on the budget successfully once the project starts.
So when you, I mean, do you come under the rubric of BIM, building information management?
You're asking, do we fall into that category?
Yeah.
I would say we don't fall into that sort of BIM category. We are a little bit, you know, I think BIM's pretty powerful tool, right? Like I think on the design side of the process, BIM is an incredible breakthrough in terms of, you know, how you can design things without, you know, be able to see the impact of design decisions even before you build them. And then also be able to bring data to operational facility and building plant, right? I think what Northspire does is more or less around the process of project delivery, which I think is one of these more untapped areas for massive improvement. You know, probably one of the biggest areas that just has been untouched and unresolved since, you know, projects today aren't run very different than they were in the 1980s. The key difference being today is that people have email. That's about it. But pretty much the processes are all the same. So, you know, being able to bring data-driven decision-making, not just data-driven, but proactive decision-making so that teams aren't just reactive to things that happened to them, but that, you know, you're leveraging big data and in reality, a robot that can look through thousands of scenarios and thousands of data points of incoming data to identify challenges that you might miss as a human. Even if you are very experienced and very intelligent, a human is a human and you might not be able to like fully synthesize these thousands of data points and new information that comes to your project every month. A robot doesn't miss that type of thing, and it can sort of flag these challenges and opportunities. So now you're just operating with better information and you're not having to do a lot of legwork to get that information. And so I think what that ends up meaning is that one, you're just making smarter, more informed decisions, but you're also spending your time instead of doing legwork, you're spending your time working, focused on the strategic direction of your project, focus on making these, I guess, you know, to your topic, these smart cities a reality where I think, you know, if you look at it, I think what's been interesting is, you know, there's a lot of vision for smart cities out there and, you know, happy to talk about that more at length. But I think, you know, it's been two sides of the coin for that. Like one is the vision for the end vision for the smart city, but the other is this process for executing to achieve that vision. And I think when you see some of these smart cities that have stumbled a little bit, like Google Sidewalk Labs in Toronto, the Quayside development, or the Masdar City development in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, which was a massive vision, right? Like, those are some of the most iconic smart city developments that stumbled in some fashion, right? And it wasn't because they didn't have, they didn't have the right vision for how to implement, especially some of these like new technologies in the city. But I think it was a process to get from an idea to fulfilling that vision. And I think that is where, you know, I think there's just this huge opportunity to leverage technologies like Northspire. How do you improve that project delivery process, leveraging advanced technologies so that these visions can actually come to fruition and not just live on paper?
So when you talk about spreadsheets, you guys use spreadsheets too, right? But you're using a consolidated spreadsheet so that all that information, you have a kind of a relational database of or relational spreadsheet that allows you to see the full view. Is that the case?
So if you're using Northspire, you probably aren't using spreadsheets anymore. So Northspire gets at the fundamental granular data points, right? Like a spreadsheet is usually aggregating data from like these underlying documents, like invoices, proposals, contracts, vendor certificates of liability insurance, lien waivers, all these various like data points that have some type of like financial orientation are getting entered manually to various spreadsheets, right? That's historically how things work. Today, like if you're a project manager and you're working on a project that has 200 vendors, imagine every single month, every single one of those vendors emailing you any series of those documents. That means you're getting hundreds of documents in your email inbox, having to enter them into a spreadsheet. By the time you sort of fish them out of your email inbox and enter into a spreadsheet, it's the end of the month. So that data is already 30 days old, right? And now by the time you've wrangled it in a spreadsheet and done a lot of legwork, you're sort of looking at where the project was 30 days ago to make decisions about where the project is going to be 2 years from now. It's sort of a backwards looking way to run a project, but that's just how things have worked because there wasn't technology that existed. So what happens with Northspire is we sync into your email-based workflow. So if you're a project manager, you're getting all these hundreds of documents emailed to you. We capture those in real time as they get sent to you. You don't have to think about, hey, let me save this in a folder. Let me enter this in a spreadsheet. We capture it. We extract the data. We queue it up for your review within the software so that you can see what got sent to you. You can see how Northspire extracted the data, how Northspire categorized the data. And all you have to say is, yes, I accept this now. Right. And then Northspire automatically then indexes that data and goes about creating all the analyses and insights proactively, almost like a digital project assistant in your back pocket. And I think that is sort of what Northspire is in relationship to the old world where teams did a lot of this manually and spreadsheets with a lot of manual labor intensive effort.
So you're a former New York City developer, is my understanding. And how did this come about that you became a co-founder and CEO of Northspire?
It definitely wasn't the intention at the outset. I came out of grad school studying urban planning and real estate development. I went to work immediately in real estate at Jones and LaSalle in New York. And, you know, I got to work on some really incredible projects. Madison Square Garden Arena, they were doing a $1 billion expansion. I was assistant to the project executive there at the start of my career. And I think, you know, at the time, it was one of the more iconic projects in New York City going on. It had an incredibly talented team. Because we were coming out of, I guess, the real estate crisis in 2008, was sort of had this hangover effect for a few years. A lot of the very top talent, there weren't as many projects. So you found them all on a few major iconic projects. So you have people that are now running incredible projects like, you know, the JFK airport expansion and, you know, like the sustainable retrofit of Empire State Building. They were all working at one point in time, like on projects like Madison Square Garden all together. And so, you know, one is I had a chance to observe really smart people early on in my career running projects, but I was also surprised that these were some of the smartest people in the industry, but they still grappled with problems that everybody else did, which was that, you know, we were spending on that $1 billion project, we were spending $30 to $80 million a month. And all of that was flowing through a myriad of like convoluted, complex spreadsheets, where, you know, we had team members that spent all of their time basically combing through, identifying discrepancies, trying to stay ahead of on that project. There were hundreds and hundreds of vendors, right? And I was pretty amazed that, you know, the project executive who I work for just had so much difficulty getting actionable information quickly, right? If you needed an analysis, it would take 3 weeks because you were combing through 16,000 data points of information to sort of do the analysis, right? And I thought to myself at some point, a robot is probably going to do this better and more effectively. So I thought maybe I should learn to code just for job security. So, you know, at night I started to learn to be a software developer, and that happened over the course of about 4 years at night, taking night classes. And by day I was a real estate developer. And what started out is just sort of this way to protect my future career, right, from, you know, future technology and a system I saw somewhat being inefficient. Ended up being me building like small tools every day to help me and deliver projects more effectively. And one, and you know, there are a few key insights I had along the way running lots of other projects in New York. And one of those became the core concept and a prototype I built for what would become Northspire. And, you know, I obviously partnered up with much smarter engineers than me, who took that prototype and the vision for what we were trying to build and turn it into this product that has really resonated with the industry and become the, like, you know, faster growing technology for real estate project delivery teams.
What's the story behind the name Northspire?
Northspire. Well, I think, you know, the name has a couple of different like connotations there, right? Like, I think we had this idea that Northspire, the platform, would be this guiding tool, this guiding direction to help you run projects more successfully and to just get to smarter outcomes. And so I think one analogy was that, you know, it was sort of this sort of cardinal point, north direction, guiding point. And I think we also, because we build buildings, we took a bit of architectural connotations from this concept of a spire. You know, often, you know, at the top of a building was sort of can be a guiding waypost. And so I think that is where the name Northspire comes from.
Where does the smart cities fit into this? Because you're taking discrete projects. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily saying we're going to build these in a way that integrate. Like, we're going to have a microgrid for this complex, or the city is going to build a series of microgrids, and the city is going to, you know, ask developers or command developers to work with us on these things because, you know, they're trying to get something mapped out, city planning, in a way that allows for integration and for infrastructure to serve the needs in a more accurate way or what have you. So what makes this a smart city play?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, people use the term smart city a lot. And my sense is, you know, if I were to define it, I think, you know, a smart city of the future, and I think often the way people talk about it is that, you know, they take into account things like sustainability, energy use, climate impact, efficient mobility and transportation. And then I think, you know, there are other very important areas that you hear come up sometimes, like how do we leverage local histories and cultures for placemaking? How do we produce adequate supply of housing, workplaces, and buildings that service society? And I think, you know, when we step back and think about all of these ideas and what is necessary to constitute a smart city, I do think there are some commonalities, right? And I think smart cities leverage technologies embedded not only in the city itself, once it's constructed and operated, whether it's these hardwares or new materials or the Internet of Things, but just also in the processes of how development happens successfully. And so I think that process of creating real estate is really where Northspire comes into play. And I think that's, you know, I think if you're building smarter and you're making it more likely that a smart city comes to fruition, I think that's as much part of the smart cities conversation as, you know, the Internet of Things and, you know, some of the hardware technologies. And I think they all sort of play together, if that answers the question.
Tell me a little bit about the future. Where do you see, knowing what you know about technology, knowing what you're using now, knowing where artificial intelligence and robotics are heading, what do you think is that Northspire or the development community is going to be capable of in, say, 5, 10, 20 years?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think, you know, if I were to try to peer into the future, I would say that, you know, city builders, real estate developers, and even, you know, government officials that have a vision for how cities should be built. I think we're at the beginning of a revolution that probably reached this sector slower than most others, right? And I think, you know, if you were to go back to the start of North Spire and we would talk to people about how to build things more effectively, leveraging advanced technologies, people were relatively complacent. But I think today when we talk to people, almost everyone is aware that the industry is on the verge of this massive transformation and that everyone is eager to try to adapt. And so I think because that wave is happening now, I think if we sort of fast forward 5, 10, 15 years into the future, I suspect we will see a world where one is when people propose projects like, you know, Google did with Quayside development in Toronto, that is not just a vision, but is one that actually they can execute on. And it really comes to fruition, right? Because the financials work as well, right? Which is what often hurts a lot of these smart cities and why they don't happen. And I think part of that is, you know, if you look 10 years down the road, and it's something we're seeing with some of our existing customers today, is that instead of 3/4 of projects being over budget, maybe now that future world is where only 10% of projects are over budget, or where, you know, 70% of delays are happening on projects, which, you know, increase costs, make projects less viable to financial partners. That also is happening less to a degree, so that like there's just more opportunity for these visions to come true. So my hope is that, you know, when we look in the future, some of these cities have been built, especially some of the ones that are even under construction by, you know, leveraging technologies like North Spire today, that they exist in the future. And we got to play an exciting part of that. Sort of just big picture, I would say that, you know, while we talk about smart cities in today's parlance, in reality, this idea of leveraging technology to build places more effectively in a sort of integrated fashion is not completely new. And, you know, you even go back to Rockefeller Center, you know, if that was built today, it would probably like be talked about like a smart city development, right? And I think what is exciting about today is that projects like Rockefeller Center, which, you know, almost a century old at this point, are now happening, not just like in, you know, the Mecca of New York City, but you're seeing developments at that scale happening in cities across the United States and across the world, right? These sort of iconic cities that bring together the latest technologies and shape like how we live and how we work in a more efficient, effective way. And so, you know, I think just like big pictures, even taking away, you know, just some of the talk about smart cities, like I think it's happened in the past, but what is so smart about what's happening and about the technology is that it's going to happen just so much more frequently. And I think it's just so transformational for the future of urbanism.
This podcast has been sponsored by Juniper Square. Juniper Square is transforming the private capital markets industry with solutions and services that streamline fundraising, investment operations, and investor reporting. Designed for commercial real estate, Juniper Square is trusted by hundreds of investment sponsors to manage more than $1 trillion in real estate investments. Reach Juniper Square at junipersquare.com.